Good morning, 8:38 Finger Lakes Morning News. Time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health, and that means Laura Turbide's here. Good morning.
Good morning, Tad.
I know we've got the cubby chase coming up very, very soon.
We do, so quickly. So July 29th, still time to register. We, of course, welcome people that day as well, but we absolutely are looking forward to a 5K, a 10K, a color mile fun run. So again, that is July 29th, Saturday, at the Jim Dooley Center for Early Learning is where the kickoff is behind Geneva General Hospital. And it's just, I can't say enough about what a fantastic family event it is for everyone and what a great chance it is to just get out and be active.
And there's a possibility, as you run by, that I may hand you a cup of water because I will be out manning the Rotary water station.
Fantastic. Thank you to Rotary, and thank you to everyone, all the sponsors and all the folks who make it possible, all the people who do water stations and hand out medals. We also are still taking volunteers. So if you're someone who thinks you're not going to want to run or walk, we, of course, take runners and walkers. But if you want to volunteer and would rather just give a period of time for that day, we'd love that, too. And, of course, all the proceeds go to the Jim Dooley Center for Early Learning and the Center for Autism, our partner with Ontario ARC. So really a great cause, but importantly, good, healthy family fun.
Any other news or events before we meet our guest?
Just, of course, a reminder that we've got the Shriners partnership for the screenings as well. So over here at Preemption Road, where we have the Interlakes Orthopedic Surgery Office, that's where we're doing the Shriner screening. So information on our website, on your website, other places. So if you have children that either have congenital birth defects, if you have a concern, everything from burns, cleft palate, orthopedic concerns, there's a whole host of things that Shriners helps with at absolutely no cost to families. And we do the screenings for them in partnership to really identify who are children who might have a need to have access to that type of care at either of their places in either Springfield, Mass, etc. And we will work out all the details, but if you know of anyone, we encourage you to take advantage of that free screening.
All right, so every once in a while, people leave the Finger Lakes, but then they realize, they think better of it, and they come back. So we have one of those people today.
We do. I could not be happier to welcome back Dr. Grace Fryer, and we were just talking, getting more acquainted this morning. Dr. Fryer is with us as a pediatrician, practicing through Life Care Medical Associates in Seneca Falls, and she's coming back to Life Care. So we had her for a little bit. We don't know how, but we let her get out of our grasp for just a little bit of time, and she will tell you a little bit about where she was in between, and now she is back practicing in this area as a pediatrician. She did her medical training at SUNY Upstate, so she is familiar with sort of upstate New York area, and then, of course, did some practicing here. Also did her training, as we were talking about, through the military, so I'm going to let her talk a little bit because I didn't bring every detailed note about where all her fellowships and residencies and things were, but we were talking a little bit about why pediatrics. We're so thrilled to have her back and just the importance of sort of how that training led her to be here, really ready to serve Seneca County, which we know she's the only pediatrician in Seneca County, the only pediatrician as part of Finger Lakes Health. So we're just thrilled to have Dr. Fryer back and someone who just in this time talking with her, no doubt is probably the most reassuring pediatrician to family members and probably just really sets every child that she cares for at such ease. So we're thrilled to have her.
All right. And first time with us on the radio, Dr. Fryer, welcome. It's great to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So we always do the biographical sketch of our first timers. So tell us a little bit about you and where you were educated and why you chose medicine and pediatrics and just a little background about yourself.
Sure. So I'm from New York City and my parents immigrated from South Korea. My mom's a nurse and she influenced me the most on wanting to be a doctor. She was a very compassionate, professional woman who was a great role model to me to become a doctor. And then later on, I did a small mission trip to Mexico, and at that point in time, I had a small burn injury. My mother had loaded me up with a bunch of first aid items, and with that, I was able to help other kids in our group, with the children that were there, and that gave me the most inspiration to become a doctor. Later on, after meeting my husband in medical school, we both went to Kenya for a volunteer missions trip, and that's when I saw all the, you know, problems or the nutritional issues, the lack of immunizations, you know, the rampant HIV/AIDS that were affecting the children that really gave me a heart for helping pediatric patients.
So what did you see in Africa in terms of the problems they face? Is it just a lot of basic things like
basic
good sanitation
things.
And like you said, immunizations and things?
That's right. Lack of running water, lack of clean water to drink, lack of electricity. The access to healthcare was very poor. And so when there was an opportunity to immunize children and parents came from all over waiting in line knowing that this was going to help their child prevent disease and death. So.
Now, I know one of the things you deal with in pediatrics, an adult patient can more easily articulate what they're feeling or what's wrong. It's harder for a child. Is there training in that, in trying to get more information out of a child, or is that a feel that you kind of develop?
You're right. It is harder to know exactly what's going on with the child, so you do have to get a lot of background from the parents. So you do a lot of history taking from who can give you the information, because a baby won't be able to tell you, right? So there's training for that.
So let's talk about the importance of just basic well child visits, because it's something, it's easy to say, you know, if you don't have good insurance, well, my child's healthy, I can't really afford it. But it's very important to not only have those visits, but to establish that relationship, because the longer you grow with the patient, the more you know about that patient.
Absolutely. We love to see our babies from the moment they're born to 3 days old, 1 week old, 2 weeks, 2, 4, 6 months. 9 months, 12 months, 15 months, 18 months, 2 years, and every year after that. We do want to see them frequently and often because things do change. We don't want to miss anything that's critical at their infancy or even toddlerhood with development. A baby could be speaking one day, you know, speaking more another day, and that's what their natural progression should be. If we miss that, we want to know so that we can give them assistance as I go.
You anticipated my next question, which is the first thing I think that almost every parent worries about is those developmental issues. Is he talking when he should? Is he crawling? Is he doing these things? What are some things to watch for that might be a sign that there needs to be some intervention?
So there is a natural progression that milestones that every child needs to take, but there is a range. So even if a child's not walking by 1 year of age, that's could be normal. They could be normal walking by 15 or even 18 months of age. But if they're not walking by, I would say, 19 months of age, and that's sort of the range of abnormal. So that's when we would want to do more intervention, give them more physical therapy. It could be from weak muscles. It could be from underlying other genetic problem, or that they need more nutrition. There are lots of things that we can intervene, but you're right, we do want to see them frequently and often so that if something does not develop or something changes later on, that we can intervene.
I think you can't underestimate not only that role of a pediatrician with the child, but with the family, the parent, and those questions of those developmental milestones. Even the checklist you get given initially, I remember as a first-time parent being nervous and being handed
sure.
the checklist, like, is she holding a rattle? And I thought, oh my gosh, I hold her all the time. I've never even given her a rattle. Now she teases us and says that's why she's not very sports-oriented. She's like, you never gave me a rattle. So I think there are prompts that happen because you come in, you have that communication with a professional, and you get that chance to develop a trust, to develop a relationship with a professional who's giving you even questions of things that you should try that you hadn't even realized this would be a milestone yet.
That's right.
So a question, I don't know, Dr. Fryer or Laura, who is best able to answer this, but why is there only one pediatrician in life care in Seneca County? Is there a shortage in the field, or is it a case you've had some vacancies and you're kind of ramping up?
Well, without question, obviously, we always try to coordinate and work with the region and what the needs are. So I think meeting community need, assessing what the community needs are, is just an important role. We do community health service plans and things with all three public health departments. We certainly try to look at demographic information, et cetera, to identify sort of what the community need is. We also want to be sure, for example, if you already have five orthopedic surgeons in the area, unless there's a reason to bring three more in, you actually don't want to recruit them away from an area that might, because as we all know, in every specialty, they're only training a certain number. So without question, because we know there are families in Seneca County, because we know, for example, we serve as the hospital for Seneca County, Geneva General really is the hospital for Seneca County, but we're not right in the county, we do really keep a pulse on what the needs
right.
are. So without question, we know life care's been a burgeoning, very thriving family practice for many, many years, and has always had family practice as well as seen children. So it's not as though life care hasn't seen children, but this just gives that added, I think, that added facet, one more facet to the program in the same way that we're bringing other specialties. So we're now within life care, we're bringing surgery, we're bringing the opportunity for our orthopedic team to come out to life care. We've got our cardiologist coming out to life care. So it's very similar to just expanding within that medical home that we keep talking about, making sure that within a medical home we have access to a lot of specialties, and of course pediatrics as a primary care for younger children seems natural. And of course, when you get a superstar like Dr. Fryer and you have the opportunity to get her to settle in your community, you certainly know that if you build it, they will come.
Now, you mentioned on your African mission trip seeing lack of immunization. So let's talk about the importance of immunizations. And so when does a child get their first immunizations normally?
So a child can get their first immunization as soon as birth.
We can
give the hepatitis B vaccine at birth. If they don't get it at birth, we can give it at 2, 4, and 6 months of age. So really, the full set of shots would be at 2 months. And that's the recommendation from the CDC, and we try to follow that. However, if a parent is wanting to change it, alter it, just take one vaccine at a time, we're willing to work with them just to make sure that their child is covered for preventable diseases.
Now, I know there's a whole kind of subculture out there that swears against vaccines and they cause all these problems. What's the latest medical science on the safety of vaccines?
So vaccines are very safe. They are extensively tested and researched, and they are approved by the FDA. The medical field believes that vaccines do help, and they do not prevent autism and other diseases, but in fact prevent them, and we do continue to promote it, especially as a pediatrician who knows that an infant or child under the age of 5 is very vulnerable to measles, mumps, chickenpox, pertussis, all the things that we don't see in the community anymore because of vaccines. We stand by it and we definitely encourage it.
I know one of the things parents should be thinking about right now is physicals, especially for sports and schools, because I would imagine that you probably get flooded with calls right about that week before school. So this would be a pretty good time to book that now and avoid the rush.
Absolutely. We are doing a pre-K, kindergarten, and new school physicals, as well as all sports physicals. So I would go to your primary care doctor and get that done. It needs to be done, I think, within 30 days of when school starts, and we have availability life care.
So what are the requirements in New York? I think it's required every year for athletes, isn't it?
That's right.
Is it required for all students?
So it's not required for all students who are not athletes. It's required for anybody entering the school system for the first time. Pre-K or kindergarten, second grade, fourth grade, seventh grade, and 10th grade students.
And again, just it serves as a preventative measure as well, because sometimes in a routine physical you can catch something that merits more attention.
That's right. The parents may not have thought about or addressed an issue, but now they're at the physical, and oh, by the way, this has been bothering my child for a couple weeks. Can you address that as well? So we can.
How do
that.
People reach you to set up a relationship?
So they can call Life Care at their number.
Yep.
539-9229 and make an appointment. Yep.
And we also, Life Care has their own website, of course. You can go to Life Care Medical Associates if you want to look that way and you want the contact information. Also, if you actually want to look up Dr. Fryer and you want to get more information and sort of re-see some of this, you can always go to the flhealth.org website, and we have a physician directory, and you can drop down and look at her under her last name, or look under pediatrics, and that has information about the phone number for Life Care. But certainly more importantly than anything, I think just give a phone call to Life Care, and
okay,
they're probably filling your schedule as we speak.
And if you look it up, it's spelled F-R-E-I-E-R is how you spell Fryer. Dr. Grace Fryer, thanks. Appreciate the visit, and I'm sure we'll talk again in the future, and good luck building relationships with a bunch of healthy kids.
You're welcome. Thank you as well.
Thanks for being here. Laura, thank you as always.
Thank you. See you in a couple weeks.
Appreciate it. We'll get healthy with Finger Lakes Health on the Finger Lakes Morning News. It's 8:52.
CEO Radio, I'm Ray Hoffman. New Line.